And I would next like to introduce Risa Fox. Risa, would you like to come up to the podium? Risa is our project officer from the Center for Mental Health Services of SAMHSA, and she's going to be talking to us today about SAMHSA's view not only of the centers that it supports, but also the activities and initiatives that go on in the integration of health and behavioral health care. So please join me in welcoming Risa Fox.
You know, my mother always said to me, never take a picture with either young children or animals, because they always, always, you know, everyone's going to look at them in comparison to you. And for me, it is very, very difficult to follow in Dr. Cook's footsteps. The amount of detail, you know, the information, and also the big picture that she presents is always just phenomenal. But I'm really delighted to be here with so many of you. And it's just heartening, the opportunity to be able to network, hear things, see things, and learn from this. SAMHSA co-funds 4 rehabilitation research and training centers, which Dr. Cook has, though correctly so, restated their proper name. But what is interesting, and I will continue, let me step back. We co-fund 2 adults, one the UIC, which is here in Chicago, and we co-fund one at Boston University, and both Dr. Marianne Farkas and Dr. Sally Rogers are here. And of course, I wish we could take credit for Mark Saltz or Dr. Mark Saltz and his on community living, but we don't. We have 2 others on transitional age youth. And I think in and of itself, the reason that we started this was the very, very importance of the research, which you have just seen, as well as this was known close to 40 years ago, the importance of both the funding that other departments and agencies had to offer, as well as the substantive nature of what they did to the whole person, to helping people with serious mental illness. And that really is key. How much of the centers contribute to the overall science and education pertaining to recovery, health, employment, which we're going to hear more about, community integration, and just the well-being of everyone who is on that road to recovery is just phenomenal. And I'm always so impressed. And I know for myself, you know, if I want to purchase something, I go to Consumer Reports, and I look at their research and review. And I do believe, and I hope, that whether within HHS or whether it's the president or whether it's Congress, that when they make decisions, they make it based on the research which we have put forward. SAMHSA so believes in all of this that they have developed what is called the SAMHSA Strategic Initiatives, which includes the Recovery Support Strategic Initiative. Home, health, community, purpose, but it all goes towards the person. It's somehow what we seem to forget. The person is at the center of this. It's at the realm of all of this. And particularly because I'm quite involved with purpose, it's about employment and education, but the inexplicable boundaries and the importance of health, we can't move forward. If I don't have my health and I have significant health problems, I'm not going to be able to work. But at the same time, work is who we are. And it is so important both for the financial success of individuals, as well as that, again, is important in the road to recovery. You get a job, you meet other peers, people come to you, you're at parties, you're at other events, and they say, what do you do? And you finally have some meaning in your life because you work. You are somebody and you are something. And then if it's true that as we move forward and we can raise the minimum wage, that you will also be able to afford other things as well as a career ladder. So recovery is a process of change through which individuals improve their health and wellness, live a self-directed life, and strive to reach their full potential. And I think the self-direction is very important because everyone should have those opportunities to determine what they want, where they want it, and the way they want it. And if it means they want breakfast at a different hour of the day, it should be so. And if they want fun at other times. And this really is more about the concept of self-determination so that everybody can walk down their own path. Everybody can find that path. The guiding principles of recovery, they're holistic, person-driven, many pathways, peer support, relational and social, strengths, responsibility, respect, culturally based, addressing trauma, and hope. But health is the key to this. We are not, when I started, when I was at NIMH, they didn't quite see it as this whole person. They saw the brain and the mind as one piece, the body as a different piece, but it really is all important. And we know, as Judith has already said, and we're going to hear more about it, that what you think, how you think, is going to impact physically how you feel, and vice versa. SAMHSA's Wellness Initiative, we envision a future where mental and substance use disorders peruse optimal health, happiness, recovery, and a full and satisfying life in the community via access to a range of effective services, supports, and resources. And we all pledge to promote wellness and take action to improve quality of life and increase years of life for people with mental and substance use disorders. More than 42% of adults with serious mental illness are obese. Fewer than 20% of the people with schizophrenia engage in regular moderate exercise. And people with schizophrenia consume fewer vegetables, fruits, more calories, saturated fats than the general population. And these things are complicated because as we give people pharmaceutical medications, which are important but need to be adjusted, they slow you down, and therefore you don't want to walk, you don't want to exercise. Very difficult. So SAMHSA has an integrated care initiative. It seeks to better coordinate and integrate primary and behavioral health care, resulting in improved access to primary care services, improved prevention, early identification intervention to reduce the incidence of serious physical illnesses and chronic disease, increased availability of integrated holistic care for physical and behavioral disorders, and better overall health status of clients. But before I go into some of that, because I think one slide may even be missing, but my particular role, besides my being the government project officer, has been in the area of employment. And again, it's this integration between health and employment, which is key. And Monday, I had the pleasure, because I've been working on the curb cuts, which finally the White House on Monday has blessed, which is, quite unusual, and I was delighted to see that it's finally gotten White House approval and White House support. And at the Monday meeting, where they actually honored people from the field who, from multiple different scenarios, whether they be large businesses, small businesses, or entrepreneurship situations, are committed to finding other employment and giving people with disabilities those opportunities. And Cecilia Munoz, who is the director of the White House Domestic Policy Council, spoke about the president's commitment to this. And it's twofold, because it's both finding employment opportunities while raising the wage so that everybody can be a part of middle class. Furthermore, SAMHSA now put out an RFA last year on supported employment, because it helps to totally change people's lives. And we know that IPS works. And the idea of this particular RFA is to ensure that people understand the braiding and blending of all these different agencies and all these different resources to ensure that we can continue to support people who want to get into employment and who need job coaches and need the ability for some support in order to do that. So the seven states that were awarded grants were Illinois, right here, Alabama, Connecticut, Kansas, Ohio, Washington, and Utah. So it is my pleasure to be here, and the last slide I really put up for a kind of a humor, although it's true. I think if you love what you do, you can really continue to make change. And one of the first set of slides that Judith had ever seen, I was presenting at NITER, which was then part of the Department of Education. And she thought it was just the funniest thing that I would put something of this nature up. But I do believe I think everyone here, if we love what we do, we're gonna be happy about it, and we're gonna be willing to work with others, to help others, and to ensure that everybody has the health and the employment and everything else they need to lead to recovery. So thank you so much for being here. I'm just delighted myself to be here, and I think the opportunities to network and to obtain information from really three rehabilitation research and training centers that are here is phenomenal. So thank you, Judith, and thank you to all your staff who have done a phenomenal job.